record. My name is Catherine Beaumont. I am the hearings officer for today's hearing. It is February 12th, 2020 at 9 o'clock a.m. And we are in the hearings office hearing room, room 3000, located at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue. I'd like to talk a little bit about the type of hearing we're having today. Today is a public hearing for case number LU-19-220549GW. Are you able to hear me?
You know, I'm going to try my hearing aids just for a sec. Maybe I might be able to hear better.
All right, I'll pause.
If you would test just a bit.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
That's better.
Better? All right. So today is a public hearing for case number LU-19-220549GW. The land use matter before me is a Type 2 appeal of the Bureau of Development Services decision approving the applicant's application for greenway review. The BDS decision approves with conditions the applicant's proposal to remove an existing carport, build a new garage, and add a second story to an existing house on property located at 10224 Southwest Riverside Drive. Since the property has frontage on State Highway 43, Riverside Drive, which is under the jurisdiction of the Oregon Department of Transportation, known as ODOT for short, the BDS decision includes and approves ODOT's requirement that the applicant remove a shed and a fence that is within the right-of-way, as well as the southern driveway entrance and driveway leading from it to the garage. My role today is as a neutral decision maker. I have no bias or personal interest in the outcome of this case. I've had no ex parte contacts, that is, communications with people interested in this case or involved in this case outside of the hearing room, about the substance of this case. Before we begin the hearing, I have some preliminary announcements that describe how today's hearing will proceed. These are required by state law and the zoning code. They address the focus of today's hearing, the record of today's hearing, and guidelines for giving testimony and how today's hearing will proceed. The focus of today's hearing is whether BDS followed the required procedures in reviewing this application and whether BDS correctly determined the applicant's proposal meets the relevant zoning code approval criteria. BDS's decision identifies and discusses the applicable approval criteria, and copies of the BDS decision are located on the table near the door. Staff will also identify the approval criteria in their presentation in just a few moments. As always, the applicant has the burden of proof to establish the proposal meets each element of the approval criteria. I'd like to talk about a little bit about what the record consists of. The record consists of all evidence submitted submitted to me, which includes written and oral evidence submitted into the record. That includes oral and written testimony given at today's hearing, and other documents in the record, including the BDS decision and all exhibits listed in it, written comments submitted before the close of the record, and the BDS planner's file and PowerPoint presentation at this hearing, both of which will be submitted into the record at the end of the hearing. The audio recording of this hearing will be available on the hearings office website in approximately 2 business days. The record will close at the end of the hearing unless one of 3 things happens. 1, the applicant asks for additional time to submit final written argument. 2, a person asks that the record be held open. Or 3, someone asks for a continuance of the hearing. Anyone who wants to have the record kept open should say so at the end of their oral or written testimony submitted today. And if someone does that, we'll have to talk a little bit about timelines, because we are under a severe time constraint to issue the decision in this case, since the 120 days allotted to the city for making a decision expires on March 4th, 2020. If anyone requests, anyone may also ask for a continuance if new information is submitted in support of the application. If you have a document you want in the record, you must give it to the clerk during your testimony or before the end of the hearing. The record might not remain open after the end of the hearing. please put your document on the table to the left of the clerk or to her right as you're looking at her, so she can mark it as an exhibit and add it to the record. When you're giving your testimony, please speak into the microphone and identify yourself. Give your full name, spell your last, and give us your mailing address. If you're representing someone other than yourself, please state who you represent. And if you come up to give testimony and then sit back down and later come back up to the microphone, please state your last name before giving additional testimony so that the recording can identify who is speaking. A copy of my decision will be sent to anyone who submits testimony and any others who give their name and address to the clerk after the hearing. Your testimony must be directed towards the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in a plan or land use regulation that you believe applies. It's very important to raise any issues concerning this land use application and BDS's decision before me at this hearing or before the record closes. If you do not, you can't later use the issue as the basis for an appeal. Also, when you are discussing an issue, please discuss it clearly and specifically enough to allow me, staff, and any other parties to the opportunity to understand clearly what you're saying and to be able to respond to it. In terms of how we'll proceed today, we will begin with the BDS staff planner's PowerPoint presentation. We will then turn to the applicant, who is also the appellant in this case, and the applicant will have an opportunity to make their presentation. And it's in terms of the applicant, it's most helpful, it's important to help me understand what procedures you believe BDS failed to follow. As I read your appeal, you have indicated you think there were a number of procedural steps that weren't quite to your satisfaction. And I'd like to understand what those are and how you believe that's harmed you or prevented you from having your application reviewed in a complete and fair way. If there's any public testimony in support of the applicant's proposal, we'll take that next. If there is any testimony in opposition to the proposal, we will take that. Then we will turn to BDS rebuttal and response, and then the applicant has the opportunity for a closing statement. I can ask questions. My goal is to make sure I clearly understand both the proposal and any issues you are raising in your appeal and staff's response to those. My written decision will be issued within 17 days after the record closes. My written decision is the final city decision in this land use review. It can't be appealed to the City Council. It can be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals under ORS 197.825. So that concludes my opening statements that I'm required to make. So we will turn to the BDS staff's presentation. I understand from the clerk that the applicant had requested an opportunity to come forward to the table and to be able to spread out your papers at the same time. You're welcome to come forward and sit quietly and come forward to the table, arrange your papers, sit quietly and listen to the BDS staff presentation. And once staff is concluded, then I'll turn to you and it will be your turn to speak. All right?
The request that I had made was to opt out of online. When I got the hearing notice, this was an option with it.
You need to hand that to the clerk. It's my understanding from talking with the clerks that that applies to other types of hearings. We are required, that statement does not apply to land use hearings. We are required to post okay. the hearing recording to the record. So I'm going to deny that request.
Thank you.
Staff, when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Hearings Officer Beaumont. Just one point of clarity. The applicant, after the decision was issued, we received, a request to extend the 120-day timeline after the decision had been mailed, but we do have a signed request revising the 120-day date to July 2nd, 2020.
Oh, right. That makes life a lot easier.
Indeed it does.
All right, thank you. So you have that extension in writing?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, so shall I begin?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So my name is Timothy Novak. I'm with the Land Use Services Division of the Bureau of Development Services, and I was the planner assigned to review this Greenway application against the applicable approval criteria for proposed development at 10224 Southwest Riverside Drive, case file number 19229549GW. I'll start with a summary of the proposal. As you noted, there is an existing house on the property and carport, detached carport. The applicant applied for building permit for the work that is being proposed and was notified by planning and zoning staff that Greenway review was required. The work is composed of a second story addition to the existing single story house, as well as a overall expansion of the building footprint. As well, it includes an attached construction of an attached two-story structure that'll have a garage below and an accessory dwelling unit above. The approval criteria that I reviewed against are in Greenway Chapter 33.440350A, and it applies to all Greenway reviews. And it requires that the Willamette Greenway design guidelines must be met for all Greenway reviews. Somewhat ironically, all of the design guidelines, in fact, apply to riverfront, river industrial, and or within the Greenway setback. So we can get more into it later, but there were no applicable approval criteria.
I was perplexed by that when I reviewed the staff decision, and it left me a little bit with what's the point feeling, but
I
understand it's required because the property has the Greenway overlay.
And in fact, my understanding is that BPS currently working on the South Reach plan for this portion of the Willamette River will likely remove some properties, potentially this one, from the Greenway overlay in recognition of the fact that we have this awkward situation that occurs.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
I was perplexed when I read the decision.
And rightfully so. Let's see. I guess I was going to skip forward. But so as you can see, the site is close to the river. To the east is actually TriMet-owned parcel wherein there are some trolley tracks. And then to the east of that, there is a riverfront residentially developed property. To the north is a parcel that, in fact, is shared. It's the same tax lot as the house to the east. It's their access from Highway 43 to their property over the railroad tracks. To the west is a variety of sort of loosely zoned, or I should say, low-density zoned residential and some open space. The property is not in the city of Portland. It's a Multnomah County pocket, so there's some intergovernmental agreements that we apply our zoning to it, but it is not in the city. A little bit more on the zoning. What I've shown here is the zoning map, but what I guess I would draw your attention to is we have this stream that is actually culverted under Highway 43 and past this property, but the zoning at this time still reflects that as being an environmental resource. So we have this triangle of environmental conservation overlay zoned property at the north of this site. Because this is a Greenway review, the standards and approval criteria associated with Chapter 33430 environmental overlay zones was not specifically reviewed. It will be dealt with during the building permit.
All right. So if whatever is occurring is allowed by right or meets standards in the C-zone, then no other land use review is necessary? Is
correct,
that correct?
Correct. And the majority of it, there's only a very small, that sort of northwesternmost tip is in the resource area. And the planner reviewing the building permit has already sent out the check sheet in which she informed the applicant and appellant that the Greenway review was required and was just asking for more information to verify that standards are indeed met. So no additional land use review is anticipated.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on, so my decision approved all of the proposed improvements on the site, specifically the addition to the house as well as the garage with ADU above. And I'll go, I guess, a little bit more into the ODOT. We allowed for any of the requirements that ODOT has in the right-of-way to be wrapped into the decision. Basically, what happened was when I saw that there were improvements in the right-of-way, and let me just jump to that quickly. As you can see here, this is the approved erosion control and mitigation plan, and what I will draw your attention to is here's the property line. Mm-hmm. So all of this area is in fact in the public right-of-way. Under the jurisdiction of ODOT, we have a 6-foot tall wood fence as well as a shed and then the driveway itself. And when I saw that, I recognized that this very well may come up, and I didn't want it to be a surprise at the 11th hour that would basically require the applicant to come back for unanticipated work within the greenway and require a second review. So I reached out to Portland Bureau of Transportation and asked them if they had communicated with ODOT about this review, because I didn't want to approve something that would then have to come back. And so they reached out to the Oregon Department of Transportation, and they did indeed have some requirements that they wanted applied to the building permit, not the greenway review, but the building permit, the actual development. And so what I did in my decision was incorporate an allowance for those improvements, not require them, but to allow them, if ODOT did in the end require them, to occur under the purview of this approval, the umbrella of this approval. So the only other thing that my approval really touched on was, in addition to stating that the any work within the environmental overlay, so here's the environmental overlay, would have to comply, it's a little hard to read here, would have to comply with the standards of 33430. I also had a note that said that the improvements in the right-of-way were subject to removal at the discretion of ODOT. In other words, not requiring them, but allowing them. And then finally, the applicant, and I'll go back, this is a close-up of this approved erosion control plan. There were some erosion control measures proposed outside of the subject site on adjacent property. And so I spoke with the site development reviewer, and she said that it was possible to bring all of that onto the site, but this was a more ideal situation. And so I added a note that said that placement of temporary erosion control, it's a little hard to read, measures, placement of temporary erosion control measures off-site subject to permission of relevant property owners. And I believe that the applicant had been in the process of working with TriMet to allow for that to occur. But it, again, it was a note that created allowances for the application, not requirements per se, restrictions, I guess.
So if I understand, repeat back and make sure I understand, you've incorporated allowances for ODOT's requirements and allowances for placing the erosion control measures on TriMet's adjacent property as appropriate or required or allowed by either agency. Is that correct? As a matter of convenience to the applicant and to avoid sort of multiple sequential reviews?
That is correct.
All right.
So that's the gist of my decision. So if I'd like to move on to the appeal and go through the points brought up by the appellant. So the appellant cited three chapters of the zoning code on the appeal form. 33700, administration and enforcement. Some of the elements in the applicant's or the appellant's descriptions better clarify how those apply to his appeal, and I'll go over those in more detail in a moment. 33440 Greenway overlay zones. I did not see that any of the points in the descriptions that the appellant provided didn't provide any clarity as to what, if any, approval criteria I failed to correctly apply. And then 33815 conditional uses. There were no, in fact, any review associated with conditional uses and no approval criteria from that chapter applied. So I won't comment any further on that.
May I ask a brief question?
Absolutely.
The only explanation I have of the issues the applicant outlined are in the appeals statement, and they don't cite specific code provisions and they don't elaborate. Was there anything more submitted with the appeal?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that part.
Okay. What I said is the only description I have of the issues on appeal are the three that you listed in your appeal form, and no further written explanation of what you thought was wrong with the decision and why, what you're saying with respect to these issues. And I was asking the planner if you had submitted any supplement to your appeal, and the answer I received was no. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have these three. I won't repeat them since you have them in front of you, but I'm gonna go through them point by point. So. Number one, rules by planner were not followed and many other concerns. So one, I don't have sufficient detail to address those. So I don't really have a lot to say, so let's move on to two. My right to postpone decision was ignored by planner. So as I stated earlier, there was an extension that we received on December 27th. I issued the decision on December 19th, and it was mailed out on December 23rd. And I guess to more further with that, as I stated earlier, and I entered into the record an email string. It's the one that has two pages on it, and I highlighted a couple of elements that I thought might be relevant to this point. The extension and the idea to postpone the decision was initiated by myself in order to allow the applicant to address some of his concerns related to ODOT requirements. And in fact, I state that I wanted to be ensure that the decision would apply regardless of whether or not ODOT required all of the things or some of the things or none of the things, so that it didn't postpone the approval any longer and allowed the applicant to deal with these things while the building permit was still proceeding, sort of to help expedite the situation. And what happened was that I realized that there was a more expeditious way for me to approach that, and so I wrote the decision rather than relying on updated plans and all of this to be worked out beforehand between the applicant and ODOT. I realized that I could write the decision in a way that would accommodate all of that regardless, again, in order to assist the applicant in moving his application and building permit and ultimately the addition and renovation of his house to completion. So that's what that is. I also provided a single page email that I printed out, and this just verifies the date that I in fact received the signed extension as being December 27th, 8 days after the decision was issued. And then the final appellant's point, notices of proposal were accepted after the deadline and used in the decision. I think I understand a little bit better what he means there simply because of some of the discussions that happened outside of the formal processes. There was some concern on the applicant's part, as I understand it, and it wasn't communicated directly to me, it was communicated to my supervisor, that the comments from both Transportation and I believe Bureau of Environmental Services were received after the date listed on the notice of proposal as the deadline for neighbors to submit comment. And I want to make clear that that date is a procedural decision within the Bureau of Development Services to ensure that staff has time to review and correctly address any concerns that neighbors have. It is not a restriction within the code. The zoning code only has basically two deadlines that staff has to abide by. Those are in 33730.020E processing time, in this case for a type 2 land use review. And as you can see, they state that staff won't make a decision until 21 days after the notice is mailed. In other words, it doesn't put a deadline on the back and just on the front end of when that timeline has to occur. It says we have to wait at least as long, not we cannot wait any longer. And the second one says that we need to be mailing a notice of decision within 28 days. It has no comment about any deadlines related to when we can or can't receive comment or responses from any of the partner agencies or bureaus. So again, there is no deadline that would have prevented us from accepting responses from either BES or PBOT in the code. It allows us to do that.
And is there anything that would have prevented the applicant from responding to those comments, even if they came in after what he believed was the appropriate deadline?
Absolutely not. And in fact, he did engage in fairly extensive email conversations that I was copied on with both of those agencies prior to the decision.
Okay, thank you.
And that's the conclusion of my presentation. I approved the applicant and the appellant's greenway review in conformance with the Portland City Zoning Code.
Thank you very much. Thank you for tolerating my questions and interruptions.
Absolutely.
But it's helpful to me to get the answers as you go. All right, applicant, it is your turn. Please state your name, please give us your address, and please spell your last name.
Good morning, my name is Mo Dindrell. It's actually Mohinder Dindrell, but everybody calls me Mo. And our last name is spelled D-I-N-D-R-A-L. And my current address is 10224 Southwest, I'm sorry. It's 1711 Southeast, 130th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97233. And before I begin, may I please, to the honorable hearing officer and to everyone else in this room, thank you for—
Mr. Dindrell, can you speak into the microphone so the recording picks up your voice?
Certainly. To the honorable hearing officer and to everyone else in this room, thank you for allowing me to express my concerns about the Greenway Land Use Review for 10224 Riverside Drive, Portland, Oregon, 97291. And please allow me to apologize in advance if at times emotions belie my tendency to be polite or project a positive image. It's a very personal thing to me here. And with that said, I have the criteria here for land use review. My complaint is not that the Greenway review was approved. Everything else was done properly. It's the procedural aspects of how he went about getting ODOT involved in this. And so the land use review process here gives you very specific guidelines that you have to follow. You can't deviate out of these. You can't use your discretion. There are very, very strict guidelines here. All right, so I submit the application, 14 days go by, no problem. If there is, you take care of the file. And then notices go out. And if I may read the notice to public notices, it says, if complete, if my application is complete to the land use review, then notices go out. He says, if complete, notices of proposal is mailed to public agencies. Now, had he had a concern with ODOT, that's a public agency, this is where he addresses this. He sends that notice to ODOT. ODOT has whatever days, 21 days. They have 21 days to respond within these guidelines. All right. So it says, if complete, notice of proposal is mailed to public agencies to property owners within 150 feet of my property. So here's the list of the properties that were mailed within 150 feet of my house. ODOT's portion of it is right here. It's called Plan Amendment Specialist. It's in Salem. Whenever state properties are involved, that's where notices go. He sent the notice to them, proper. If he had concerns about what he had no business. He should have sent it to that public agency too, but he never did. All right. Instead, he says, in this email to me, he says, hopefully no issues come up, but I've addressed in Portland Public Transportation as a reviewer of your application to facilitate a discussion with ODOT. Where does it say in here that you facilitate a discussion with another agency? You don't. You send them a notice like you sent every other notice to this neighbor, to these people here, and then you give them 21 days to response. He never sent a notice to the agency that's involved with this, what he did. So anyways, the proper agency that he did send it to in Salem, so I call him, all right, Plan Amendment Specialist. And she says, yes, we did receive that. We sent it to our bureau in Portland. Her name is Ann. So I called Ann. I said, did you receive this notice? And she said, yeah, I remember that one. It was kind of interesting. I said, it kind of stuck out in her mind. I said, what was your response to it? She said, we didn't have any because ODOT is not planning on doing anything there. It's been since 1940s because of the geography of the area. They're not planning on doing anything.
And what did you understand that to mean? That they're not planning to do anything?
That's the proper agency to address what he's saying about removing that fence. Okay, so let me just go on a little bit. All right. So I said, so I'm having a little trouble with the city about this. What's the proper procedure? She said, if there were any concerns with that right-of-way, we would have sent it to our right-of-way department, which is in Salem, not maintenance the maintenance and the repair crew in Portland. Totally different department. She said, we would have sent it to our right-of-way people in Salem. Timothy never did that, never contacted them. Those are the proper people to deal with the right of way here. All right? So it was funny, because as soon as he said that, if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny. Because just a week before I talked to her, I had called the ODOT's right of way people. If I can read you their response. Those are the proper people to deal with right-of-way issues, not maintenance and repair people in Portland. All they're concerned about is really new construction and how their driveway is going to fit into whatever property they have that abuts it. All right? So I talked to the guy. He said, send me an email too, please. This is from Access Research Coordinator, ODOT Right-of-Way. All right. He says, "Hello, Mo. I researched your property at 10224 Southwest Riverside Drive in Portland. According to our records, your property does not have any access restrictions to the highway. If you wanted to modify your existing driveway, which Timothy wants me to remove, he said, get in touch with District 2B. District 2B happens to be clear on the other side of where maintenance and repair people are. Two totally different agencies. Any concerns about driveways? He gives me his name and phone number. All right, he says it's District 2B contact, gives me his contact number and his phone number, and says get in touch with him. So I got in touch with him. And he says, Mo, you have absolutely no restrictions to that highway. Had ODOT been planning on doing something in that portion of your area, they would have contacted you through. Now please, kind of stress this, through the right-of-way department in Salem, not through repair and maintenance people in Portland. Huh? And then getting back to the proper procedure of sending out notices. If you had a concern about a public agency, send them a notice. Let them tell ODOT, hey, these are our concerns. I'll tell you why he didn't send it to them, because he knew he wouldn't get a response from them. So he concocts this thing about letting me get PDOT involved in this to facilitate a discussion. Where does it say in here to get another agency to facilitate a discussion to make on a land use review? It doesn't give him that authority. He can't use his discretion. Give me a code that allows you to do that. You don't have one. You can't do that. You can't use your discretion. You,
Mr. Dindral, I would ask you to address me, not staff, and to please be respectful towards staff.
I will.
My experience suggests that it's not uncommon for agency staff to talk with each other and coordinate with each other about an application, with the intent to try to facilitate approval of an application.
The rules and regulations state that you will follow them to the letter without any discretion. And if I can find that here, I will show it to you. Give me a second, please. It was right here. There we go. All right. This is chapter 33.700. And it says, general rules for application of code language. Okay, reading and applying the code. Literal reading of the code language will be used. Regulations are no more or no less strict than as stated. Okay, the application of regulations that are consistent with the rules of this section are non-discretionary. May I give you a definition of non-discretionary, a legal definition? What did I do with it?
You may, although I have a pretty good understanding of what that term means.
You know, it says, especially people in authority cannot use discretion. They have to use whatever codes that allow them to do it. And thank God that it's that way. Because anybody can just say, oh, let's do this, let's get PBOT involved with ODOT to see if they can cause some problems for me.
So
there is nothing in this that allows him. This is type 2 land use review procedure. Two houses away, the same land use review process was done because they had a project going on. PBOT's, I have it right here if you want a copy of it. PBOT's concern, no concerns. Really, my fence is exactly in line with hers in ODOT's right of way. From my house, you can go a mile and a half down to Lake Oswego. There are garages built on ODOT's right of way. For him to use these backdoor tactics to get this attached to my residential permit, it's really, really disturbing and unbecoming. His whole purpose was to get that ODOT's requirement attached to my residential permit, which he succeeded in doing.
If I ask
my request for extension, he says 27th. Here's an email I sent to him on the 19th asking for an extension. I didn't get a response from him. So the next day, I sent it to BDS, Bureau of Developmental Services. All right. They're supposed to process that in one day, and that's the 20th. I'm asking him to delay his decision until I get this taken care of. The reason he didn't do it is because one of the notices that were sent in late from BDS, from our Bureau of, I got it here anyways. I called her and I said, I want you to resend your letter because you didn't send it in on time. The deadline said 5 p.m. December 2nd, and you sent it in on December 4th. It's not fair to all the other people on that list that you're the response letter should be accepted. She calls Timothy. Right. Timothy knows the next person I'm going to call is PBOT and tell them to resend their letter because they haven't sent it in on time. Instead of requesting my extensions, he goes ahead and files it anyways. The only option I have left is to file a hearing. Madam Hearing Officer, these backdoor tactics are exactly why codes are written. That's why it states you can't use your discretion to make decisions. Timothy used his discretion to get PDOT involved with ODOT. He's already sent ODOT legally a notice to him, knowing that he's not going to get a response from them because they don't care that anything is happening. For 40 years, they haven't done anything there, and they don't plan on doing it because of the geography of the area. You have the hills on the west side. You have cliffs and the Willamette River on the east side. They've allowed people to build garages on their right-of-ways. Why has he singled me out to press this issue? If they asked me to remove that fence and remove that driveway, there's speed 50, 60 miles per hour coming down that road. The only thing protecting my house and my kids, and even that, not much protection, but some, to ask me to get rid of that for no reason? I mean, I can show you a picture of Google here of what I'm talking about. Can I approach you with that? Just to give you an idea of what it is that He showed you pictures from top, which really doesn't show you what he's asking me to do, or what he got ODOT to ask me to do illegally.
If you would like to submit a picture into the record, you can hand it up to the clerk, and we will mark it as an exhibit and keep it.
I don't have a picture of it. Can I give that to you later? Or can I submit it some other way? Because I've got it on Google Map here. It just shows you all the other neighbors' fences are in ODOT's property. You can go a mile and a half into Lake Oswego on both sides. Fences are built on ODOT's property. And then the proper agency didn't respond to it outside of this notices that he didn't even send them a notice. He didn't even send Peabody a notice. It says right here, if complete, notice of proposal is mailed to public agencies. If he had a concern with Peabody, mail them the notice, like you mailed everybody else that notice. Mail ODOT that address that's asking me to do this, send them the notice. You can't work outside of that.
I understand your point.
Do I see their name and address on the mailing list? I do not. They have no right to any kind of decision whether we should or not. This is like asking someone outside of 150 feet of my property, hey, that neighbor over there, why don't you get in touch with that neighbor over here and see if you can cause some problems? That's exactly what Timothy did.
All right, I think I understand your point. Let me repeat it back to you to make sure that I have understood you clearly.
Can I get just a little water before I go on? Please?
Sure.
Can I just one thing before we go on, please?
Sure.
It says I've added in Portland's Bureau of Transportation as a reviewer of your application. If you wanted Peabody to review my application, he should have sent them the notice saying, do you have any concerns? Instead, he says, I'm getting them involved to facilitate a discussion with ODOT. I mean, what code tells you can do that? There's nothing in this land use review process that says you can do that. It says you can mail out notices to them. And if they have any concerns, they can get back to you in 21 days.
The mail can take many forms. It can be regular postal mail. It can be email.
From what I understand is your concerns can be emailed to Timothy. They can be mailed in, but you have a deadline.
All right.
Of 21 days.
So may I ask you a few questions? And asking you questions is to help me understand, make sure I understand your points and the implication of your points. Your basic complaint is that you feel that BDS staff did not follow the letter of the code, and you believe the code is non-discretionary, that they did not mail notice to the right people in ODOT, and that by getting PBOT involved and suggesting that PBOT facilitate a discussion with ODOT, that led to the imposition of some possible requirements for removal of the fence along Highway 43 that you believe would not have occurred had they not suggested that PBOT reach out to ODOT. That's correct?
That's exactly right. Not only that.
I'm not done asking my questions, please. Have you continued discussions with ODOT?
I opened discussions with the people that were legally involved with this that were done properly. People that were done not properly, I did not get in touch with them because I felt that they had no business being in this Greenway review process. So I got in touch with property owners of ODOT that the notice was mailed out to. And they say, we have absolutely no concern. But now, Timothy has got this thing attached to my residential permit as a check sheet from Wayne Kloss and Michael Payne. Wayne Kloss is Michael Payne's supervisor. And they got together with Timothy, with Timothy's encouragement that they can do this outside of any codes, of any rules, and I don't know how they let Timothy do that. It just boggles my mind that someone in a supervisory position couldn't see through this and stop it at that moment.
Do you have anything in writing from ODOT that says we have no concerns and we...
I just read you the email from...
You read me the email. Do you have a... Is that in the record? Are you submitting that into the record?
I can give you the ODOT email that I got from the right-of-way people, that I have absolutely no restrictions there for now. You know, there's this thing,
I guess, my question is, are you in ongoing discussions with ODOT about removal of the fence and perhaps asking them to dial back on removing the fence?
Madam Hearing Officer, I got in touch with the people that are on the mailing list.
Yes, I understood your testimony.
Okay.
Okay.
Those are the people I'm dealing with, and they're telling me that they have no concerns. She was asking me, why was this sent to Maintenance and Repair Department in Portland? I said, that's a good question. Had Timothy had any concerns, he should have sent them the notice. Had Timothy had concerns about PBOT? By the way, PBOT has absolutely no authority or jurisdiction outside of Portland city limits. Absolutely none. This is just their way of getting around that to get PBOT involved. They have zero jurisdiction. When I first applied for this permit to do this job, my residential permit, this is April, January, February, March of 2018. PBOT has put on there, no concerns. Timothy gets involved in October of 2018. All of a sudden, there's concerns. And now I have this thing attached to my residential permit. His goal was to attach it to my residential permit, and he succeeded in doing that.
All right.
I would really appreciate it if the Honorable Hearing Officer would see a way of getting that unattached from my residential permit, because it was put on there not properly. It was put on through backdoor tactics. It was put on there because PBOT has no authority and absolutely no jurisdiction. And to bypass that, this is what they did.
All right. And is there, are you through? Do you have anything else you want to say before I turn to staff for a response?
In a closing statement, I would like to make a closing statement, if I may.
You have the right to do that. We'll hear rebuttal from staff, and then you can make a closing argument. So if you are, I want to make sure, are you through with your main presentation at this point?
If I think of anything, may I be allowed to just mention it?
No. I mean, you can mention it in your closing statement.
Yes.
But if you're through with your main presentation, then I will turn to staff for rebuttal.
Here we go. In conclusion, please allow me to express my shock and how appalled I am at the way the planner used backdoor tactics to subvert the rules and regulations in place for land use review and residential permits. I see no other review or permit issued along this stretch of Highway 43 in unincorporated Multnomah County outside of Portland city limits that has been subjected to this kind of backdoor tactics. None, not one. If the honorable hearing officer allows planner Mr. Novak to go unchecked, you will be setting a very dangerous precedence. You will eviscerate the public's right to a fair and impartial review or permitting process. You will eviscerate decades of legal precedence and put the community at risk at the hands of a reckless planner who has no respect for rules and regulations. Okay? I hope I have made enough of an argument for everyone in this room to see tactics that to see these tactics are not good for the city of Portland or for the public it serves. Thank you for allowing me to express my concerns. If you have any questions, I will do my honest best to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you. BDS staff.
Thank you, Hearings Officer Beaumont. I guess there's a few things, but really the meat of my rebuttal would be that the only applicable zoning code section relating to the timelines that we're to abide by is 33730.020E, processing time for type 2 land use reviews. I complied with those and my decision and my procedural, and I followed the procedures that are required by that. Period. That said, I guess I would like to provide a little bit of clarification. The ODOT section that responded with a formal response is development review. Region 1 planning development review. It's exhibit E3 in the record. And as I hope I made at least somewhat clear earlier, the concerns are not specific to the Greenway review. They're specific to the building permit. And the reason that I brought PBOT and asked them to find out if anything was going to happen with ODOT was to ensure that if, in fact, they do become aware of it and decide they do want to address their concerns at the time of building permit, that my approval would still remain valid and that the applicant wouldn't have to come back through Greenway review. The decision does not require any of these things, and certainly the applicant is welcome to reach out to them and make a case, sort of what he did today, that comparing the others who have or have not had any of these requirements imposed on them and make that case to ODOT, but it would be to ODOT, and it is not part of the Greenway review. I addressed the approval criteria correctly, and I applied the procedural guidelines within the code correctly.
So if I understand it, one theoretical option is I could simply say that the Greenway review is approved, period, and leave it to the applicant to deal with ODOT at the permit stage. If at that time ODOT required, for whatever reason, decided they were going to take a fresh look at this and decide either they didn't want the fence, he didn't have to remove the fence in the shed, that's fine. That doesn't affect this Greenway review. That wouldn't affect any Greenway approval decision. Alternatively, ODOT could simply, if all I did was simply say approved and didn't mention the ODOT requirements, and at the time of building permit, ODOT decided, yes, we really meant it. We want the fence removed. We want the shed removed. And that, how would that affect this greenway decision? Would the applicant have to come back and reapply for greenway review to include removal of the fence and the shed? Or would there be a second greenway review?
Without that allowance in it, I think it would be a stretch at best to say that the approval remained in substantial conform. With the ODOT requirements included in the proposal, it would be difficult to say that the proposal is still in substantial conformance with the greenway review. In other words, that without that allowance for the removal of those improvements in the right-of-way, when those are proposed, it's not part of the approval and therefore would require another greenway review.
Okay.
It needs to be incorporated into this decision in order for it to be
an all-encompassing,
because otherwise the removal of those improvements will trigger greenway review. And since that those removal of improvements wouldn't have been addressed in this decision, therefore it's not, they're not in substantial
conformance. Would be a separate greenway review or an amendment to this greenway review to address removal
Correct.
Of the fence.
It would require
the
another land use review to deal with those.
On the other hand, the applicant, you know, if we leave it as is, I guess theoretically it's possible for the applicant to continue negotiating or talking to ODOT, and if ODOT says, nah, we really didn't mean it, we're not going to require removal of the fence or the shed, then that part of this, the decision that addresses that, is simply extraneous or superfluous. Is that correct?
Yes.
Because it would have been sort of an over-inclusive greenway review.
Correct. It is an allowance, not a requirement or a restriction. It only allows for whatever negotiations the applicant is able, whatever the conclusion of negotiations with ODOT that the applicant is able to come to, this will still apply. The proposal will still be in substantial conformance with the decision, and no further land use review will be required. Whether that means nothing has to come out of the right-of-way or everything has to come out. Everything in between is included in this decision so that he does not have to go through greenway review again, regardless of the outcome of his conversations with ODOT.
Okay. I hate to ask you this question, but I also want to give you a chance to address it. The applicant has portrayed BDS's actions in reaching out to PBOT and encouraging PBOT to reach out to ODOT and facilitate a discussion as being some kind of effort to make sure that the fence and the shed were removed, or to get ODOT involved in a way that ODOT otherwise wouldn't be. Was that your intent? I mean,
no, it was not. My experience, I've been a professional planner for over 10 years, and my experience is that sometimes, particularly with state agencies, there is a delayed response in awareness and of elements in the right-of-way, and that those can at times create a serious delay and hardship on applicants when ODOT becomes aware of these things again at the 11th hour, and suddenly a plan that was almost to completion has to go back through and make all these revisions or all these negotiations with ODOT. My intent was to avoid that for the applicant. I wanted it to be dealt with now so that there was no so that he wouldn't have to go through greenway review again if ODOT, in fact, did have requirements. And I can't speak to other properties along the road and whether they did or did not have to deal with ODOT. I know that consistently that seems like it's my obligation to be diligent and be aware and make sure that I'm doing my best to anticipate the needs of the applicant and make the best decision that's going to both meet the approval criteria, one, and within that, the flexibility that's allowed within that to support the applicant in their project. And that was my intent all along.
Okay. I interrupted your response with questions, but please, please continue if there's anything else you want to say.
No, I think I'm okay for now. I think we've covered it, hopefully.
Okay.
Before, is there anyone else here who would like to speak? I believe that it is simply city staff who is here. All right.
Do I have the right?
It's your opportunity to make your closing statement.
Madam Hearing Officer, if Timothy's intent was to not cause me any kind of grief or any kind of problems, he did just the opposite. He had no right to get PBOT involved. He has no code, no regulation that allows him to do that. He used his discretion. You cannot use your discretion. You have to follow the codes and the rules. There's nothing that tells him to get PBOT involved. If he can give me one example in my neighborhood where he had an issue with ODOT later, I would be surprised, very surprised, especially outside of Portland city limits. ODOT guards there very jealously. Inside Portland city limits, they work with the city. Outside of Portland city limits, they have their own agencies for permitting. They have their own people for coming and checking inspections. They have their totally separate department for permitting driveways. Has nothing to do with PBOT. Has nothing to do with the city of Portland. As long as it's outside of Portland city limits, which my property is. They have absolutely no jurisdiction. They had no business getting in touch with ODOT. They've already gotten in touch with them through this mailing list. Had they had any concerns, they should have looked for their response. They never sent a response. They had no concerns. It just boggles my mind that no one has ever. Every fence 1 mile down that road is on ODOT's property. By the way, one very interesting thing is here in PBOT, if you will. This is PBOT's. Here's the first response I got from Timothy, that PBOT got some kind of a response from ODOT. He says, all the issues brought up by review groups are in this mailing list. These review groups are not in this mailing list. Review groups of transportation related that ODOT via PDOT is requesting. And here's the attachments. He sends me the attachment from PBOT. No attachment from ODOT. ODOT hasn't even gotten in touch with them. PBOT has already sent them saying, this is what we want you to do. They have no authority to do that. They have no jurisdiction at my property. This is a whole list of every one of these. I asked Michael Payne, where's the codes and regulations? All of this he takes off. All of this he takes off. And then his last statement, when he updates this is the third one I get from him. Okay. is that you meet the requirements of ODOT. He sends ODOT all these things thinking, ODOT's probably thinking, hey, these guys, they probably don't even know this property's outside of city limits right now. Only people that know that is the people that he sent the notice to legally. Right. And they're thinking, oh, PBOT wants this guy to do all these things, so let's just have him do it. All right. What's really, really disheartening is a polite way of putting it about this, is that he attached it to my residential permit. Everything that relates to PBOT and ODOT on that greenway review should be deleted. Every exhibit that he has involving the right-of-way should be deleted from that land use review. It should not be part. There is absolutely no improvement going on. Everything that I'm doing is on my property, inside my property line. There is absolutely no improvements I'm making on ODOT's right-of-way. That fence was put there in the 60s. Major reason was for noise reduction because traffic was picking up. They had actually just transitioned from horse and buggy to automobiles. And that fence was put up there as a noise barrier. Again, Madam Hearing Officer, just the way they went about doing this is not right. I can't express it as eloquently and as professionally as Timothy can. I'm a homeowner, I'm not a builder. I'm not a professional builder. I work full time. This is just a passion I started 14 years ago. And for it to come to this, it's really disheartening. Really, really disheartening. Especially as a homeowner, he should know that I don't know half the rules. Right? Before even suggesting that he get in touch with ODOT, at least talk to me about it. At least let me know what might happen. I could tell Timothy. He was talking about erosion control on the north side. I tell Timothy, I don't have to get, he said, get your neighbor's permission to be able to put it on his property. Explain to Timothy, that's not the neighbor's property. It's an abandoned road from Multnomah County. They just let people do whatever they want on it. It's an abandoned road. He wouldn't believe me. He said, no, you got to get your neighbor's permission. My neighbor's a nice guy, but he's 80-something years old. He has set in his ways. I knew I wasn't going to get his permission. I explained to Timothy again, it's a county road, abandoned. I actually called them and they say, we have no concerns with you putting those. He wouldn't believe me. So there's a registered survey on file with Multnomah County. I had it with me. I pull it out and I show it to Timothy and I say, look, it says abandoned county road. He takes it out of my hand and pushes it away and said, no, you got to go get your. This was October. So from that point on, I got a feeling that I have to be very careful with this guy. I don't want to push too many buttons. I don't want to push too many issues. Right. From that point on. All right. So when he said, get PBOT involved with ODOT, Madam Hearing Officer, what was I going to do? Tell Timothy not to?
I understand your point.
I mean, me as a homeowner, this bureaucracy that they've to waddle just through the residential permit site from January of 2018.
I think we're getting a little far afield here.
No, this has to do with the land use review. I went there
okay,
six...
Okay, why don't you make your final points, and then I have a okay. question or two for you.
Okay, so from January of 2018 till I filed for my residential permit, which was March of 2019, they have a homeowner's night. I think it's every Thursday night, every other Thursday. I went there six times, half a dozen times throughout 2018. Asked them, do I need a greenway review? God, if anyone would know, you would think they would. Every time, the answer was no. It would have made a huge difference on me deciding to do this project, not to do this project. Every time I went, the answer was no. It's outside of greenway setback. It's forward of river regulations. It's not within the greenway setback. It's forward of greenway setback. You don't need a greenway review. Madam Hearing Officer, six times. I filed for my residential permit with that information. They go through the planning process. $3,000-some-odd I laid down. Planning and zoning come back to me with a check sheet saying, hey, you need a greenway review. Another $3,400 laid down, Madam Hearing Officer. And this is what I get for it.
I understand you're unhappy with the process.
For every month, the house is empty. For every month that I delay, it costs me thousands of dollars. Mortgage payment, taxes, maintenance, thousands of dollars. For every month that it's delayed, I'm talking close to $5,000 a month that I'm...
I understand that that is a lot of money to anyone.
For a professional multinational builders is chump change. They burped that at lunch. For me, it's a huge expense. And for them to use these kind of tactics to add on the burden to a homeowner, especially when no other neighbor has had that requirement. I've talked to every neighbor that I know of, residential permit given out two houses away for a remodel. Residential permit given out just two houses away to the north of me. One north of me went through a land use review. Nothing. ODOT had no concerns. The only reason they have a concern is because these guys use these backdoor tactics to create this, to make it look like that, hey, we have this concern, you should have this concern too. It's very unfair. It's very disheartening.
Mr. Dendrell, let me ask you a question or two.
Certainly.
Regardless of whether, I understand you feel like you have been singled out or treated unfairly in this process.
It's not that I feel like it. I have been, Madam Hearing Officer.
All right, I understand. How would you have felt, one possibility would be for me to simply, right now your greenway review focuses on the house, as you've said, which is on your property. One possibility for me, and I'm not saying that I will do this at all, it's just throwing out a theoretical possibility, would be for me to amend the decision to simply wipe out any language having to do with removal of the fence or the shed.
Yes.
And just simply say greenway review approved for what you want to do on your property.
Yes.
You would then go to building permit review. It would be possible at that time for ODOT to say, oh, we want you to, we meant it. We really want you to remove the fence and remove the shed. Your greenway review would not have addressed removal of the fence or removal of the shed, which would mean you would need to apply again and be back here again, which would take more time, and it would cost more money. Is that something you would prefer? I think I accept your reality, which is feeling like you have been treated unfairly. I also accept the planner's reality that he was trying to address everything in this land use review so that when it came to building permit review, it would go smoothly for you and you would be able to go ahead and build your house. Mm-hmm. So that's one possibility, simply to wipe out any language dealing with the fence, removal of the fence and the shed, and you take your chances at the time of building permit review. And you take a chance that ODOT may simply say, sorry, we really want you to do that, and you'll have to come back through the land use process. A second option is, depending on how my review of the record and assessment of credibility is, for me to say, no, I think the planner did everything correctly, to leave the decision as it is. Nothing about that prevents you from continuing to talk with ODOT, and if you are able at building permit stage to persuade them that you don't have to remove the fence and you don't have to take down the shed and deal with the driveway, then there is nothing in this language that in this decision that would require you to do that.
Uh-huh. I understand what you're saying, Madam Hearing Officer. As long as that review sent is PBOTS, review sent is attached to that land use review. If you can get that review letter removed.
Once it's in the record, I cannot get it removed. I can't take it out.
But it was put on there illegally, without any code, without any, they had no authority to put it on there, period. Every other land
use. Okay, I'm not gonna debate that point with you. That will be something I will review in making my decision. What I would suggest now is if you have anything concluding that you want to say, please say it. If you have any documents that you would like to submit into the record, mm-hmm. do that now. Mm-hmm.
I also got an email from Wayne Kloss. He's just waiting for this land use review to see if that PBOT letter is still attached to it. If it's attached to it, he's not going to remove those check sheets off of the land from my residential permits. If it is attached to it, he's not. If they're not attached to it, he's going to remove those check sheets. He has to.
Okay.
Those check sheets were put on there solely because of the unauthorized placing of that response letter on the land use review.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. As the applicant, you have the right to a final 7 days to submit final written argument. Do you want that 7 days? As the applicant, you have the right for a final 7-day period to submit any written argument to the hearings officer that okay. you want to. Okay. Do you want to use that 7-day period?
I think I would. I may think of some other things, yes.
All right. All right. So the applicant will have until 4 p.m. on February 19th to submit final written argument to me. Okay. Upon receipt of that final written argument, the record will close. Mm-hmm. My decision is due 17 days from the date the record closes, which means my decision is due on March 6th, 2020. And with that, we will close the hearing. I will accept the BDS planner's file, and we are concluded.
Thank you.